Markets plummet despite the Fed's new efforts to help the economy.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California and is supported by Reputation.com, monitoring, protecting, and improving reputations online while deleting personal data from the internet. Reputation.com.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson with The Morning Open, a look at business and the economy as Wall Street starts the day. Coming up, the Fed is doing the twist, but for some reason, everyone's focused on the shout. But first, where's Wall Street? Stocks are way down as they were in overseas trading this morning. The Dow down 347 points, more than 3% at 10,777. The NASDAQ down more than 3%, same with the S&P 500. Gold, which usually goes up when investors get scared, is down 3.5%. It seems investors are instead fleeing to the safety of government bonds. The interest rate on 10-year U.S. bonds has fallen to an all-time low of 1.77%. The thing that is driving the market plummet this morning may be the Fed and its action yesterday to shift its investment portfolio toward long-term bonds in a move called Operation Twist. Diane Swonk is chief economist with Mesirow Financial. She's with us live from Chicago, as she is every Thursday. Good morning.
Good morning.
So first of all, Diane, break through the jargon of the twist here. What is this action by the Fed really supposed to be doing?
Well, it's supposed to be discouraging investors from doing exactly what they're doing and getting money off the sidelines, making more risky bets in the equity market instead of the treasury market.
Well, but we'd also heard that this was supposed to make mortgages easier to get for ordinary people.
Well, it doesn't exactly make mortgages easier to get, but it is expected to lower mortgage rates, which it is doing. Of course, mortgage rates and low rates aren't the only problem in the mortgage market these days.
Well, now, why, going back to what you were saying in the beginning there, why are the markets doing exactly the opposite of what the Fed wanted them to do?
Well, in part because the Fed validated their worst fears that, in fact, the risks of a recession are quite substantial, stemming from the global financial market crisis going on in Europe. And, in fact, overnight, the situation in Europe looks like it intensified in terms of being a crisis. And we also got some bad news from China. So just that validation from the Fed, because they talk to central bankers around the world every day, that was a validation of a reality we already knew, but we didn't really want to be. Have it be credible.
Diane Swonk, chief economist with Mesirow Financial. Thanks as always.
Thank you.
So are the big drops we're seeing in global stocks this morning a panic? Marketplace economics correspondent Chris Farrell joins us now to discuss that. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, Jeremy.
Well, what is considered a market panic?
Well, market panic, 1987, stock market falls by about 25%. That is a market panic. Essentially what happens, and it's happened throughout our history, the first one was in 1792, or that's the one that we talk about with William Dewar, who was a friend of Alexander Hamilton, the first Treasury Secretary. What happens in a market panic is that institutions, the big buyers, they realize that there's danger. They realize they're going to lose a lot of money. They withdraw from the market. Sellers realize, hey, there's no buyers. We've got to lower our price. And then a market panic sets in and it feeds on itself in a downward spiral.
But doesn't it always turn out afterwards that these investors go, that was a real mistake? Why did we panic so much?
Well, of course. And he also wondered during the boom times, how could so many people be so stupid to borrow so much money to invest? So in a way, though, it's very rational, the actions that are happening. That's what's so scary about panics. And that's why panics exist, because what happens is that these institutions are protecting themselves. They realize that they could lose a lot of money. They withdraw from the market. But that withdrawal from the market is what feeds the panic itself.
Do you think we're in a period right now where we're prone to market panics? Do we know if we're prone to a market panic?
We're absolutely prone to market panics because we've moved toward a world of computers and algorithms, and they move so fast. They move faster than human judgment. So we're more prone to it than ever before, and we have a situation where it could happen, it could not happen, because of all the uncertainty that's out there about the economy and Europe.
Marketplace economics correspondent Chris Farrell, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by MassMutual, offering business owners financial guidance for the long term. Information at massmutual.com. And by CSX, transporting 2 billion pounds of goods to market by train and working to help move the economy forward. CSX, how tomorrow moves. Marketplace Innovation Reporting is supported by the 2011 Jaguar XJ. Learn more at a local dealer or at jaguarusa.com.
Facebook holds its developers conference today in San Francisco. It's planning some changes to its site in addition to the ones that it unveiled yesterday to a not-so-great reception. And as Jennifer Collins reports, those changes may seem small compared to what's coming.
Media consultant Ted Cohen says Facebook's about to let you and your friends share music more easily.
If I see that a friend of mine is listening to the Chili Peppers on Spotify.
Spotify is a music subscription service.
And I have Spotify. It's going to let me hear the Chili Peppers on my Spotify account.
In Facebook, Cohen thinks you'll soon be able to listen to any band on any service and watch TV shows and movies friends recommend, too. Lucy Hood is with the USC Marshall School of Business.
It's the ultimate killer app. What I want, when and where I want it.
That's good for Facebook because the social network would then have you where it wants you, when it wants, for advertisers. And for the media companies, Cohen says,
for people who haven't subscribed to any of these services, the path to listening to a song
and potentially signing up as a subscriber
is a very short walk.
That is, if they can get past the usual user revolt. I'm Jennifer Collins for Marketplace.
And finally, about that usual user revolt, we may think we're okay with change, but really, who are we kidding? When it comes to the internet, we like things to look the same. The biggest sites, Google, Yahoo, YouTube, Wikipedia, look about the same today as they did when they started. But Facebook wants to stay fresh. The alterations it made to its homepage yesterday, adding a ticker, making photos bigger, don't seem like such a big deal, but listen to the reaction. I signed up for Google Plus today, said one user. Ridiculous, said another. And TV host Joy Behar tweeted, I've wasted so much valuable time trying to figure out the new Facebook, I've barely had time to play solitaire on my iPad. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
Financial news changes by the very minute. Domestic and global markets are crazy.
China's not about to move away from buying U.S. treasuries.
The European Central Bank wading into the Spanish and Italian government bond market today.
The whole debt ceiling debate made us look dysfunctional. We all know that.
That's okay, though, because we're here. Marketplace. It's the business show for the rest of us. It's from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.